Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. He told another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it's grown, it's the largest of all vegetable plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds of the sky come and nest in its branches. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You've seen the darkest skies I know. Let your heart run, child, like horses in the wild. So take my hand.
I suspect it's because we're such a large country geographically, but we Americans, we have always been a go big or go home kind of people. I think this propensity for bigness is a part of our culture. I think it's embedded in our DNA. I mean, we just love big. We love big houses. We love big cars. We love big football stadiums. And I hope everybody's team won yesterday, just in case. Even those quirky, odd, off-the-beaten-path things that we don't pay any attention to, those things are big as well. Did you know that our country proudly claims the largest ball of twine in the world? I mean, how awesome is that? 8 feet high, weighs 5,000 pounds, and if you're ever driving through Kansas, you just might want to take a hard right-hand turn and check it out for yourself. Or if baseball is your game, next time you're going through Louisville, Kentucky, check out the world's largest baseball bat. It is 8 stories high, and it weighs in at 34 tons. That's some big stuff, isn't it? It really is. We love big. I mean, we really, really love big. But Jesus is not going big in our gospel reading this morning. In fact, he's doing exactly the opposite. And you have to wonder why. Now, we all know that Jesus was an incredible teacher, and he told lots of stories. We call them parables. And most of his stories were about the kingdom of God. So if you go home after you've had a little bit of nap and you read this entire 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, you will find that Jesus tells some really ordinary stories. I mean, he talks about seeds and plants, baking bread, plowing a field, fishing. Now, there is one about somebody who's kind of important. There's a story about a wealthy merchant. But the rest of them are just as small and just as ordinary as a mustard seed. And you kind of have to wonder, why did Jesus do that? Why didn't he ever tell stories about kings or princes or military leaders or powerful politicians? I mean, his choice of story material is a little odd when you think about it. But it's really strange when you look at it through the lens of who he is. I mean, come on. Jesus is Lord. That's what we're doing here this morning. We're proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the Savior of this world. Jesus was very many things, but he was never once, not once, was he ever ordinary. But for some reason, he continues to tell these stories about ordinary people and ordinary events. And I suspect that is the point of it, after all. As Christians, we are called to believe in the incarnation, that absolute mystery of how the divine and the human meet together in the person of Jesus Christ. So we need to notice that in his parables, in his stories, Jesus is not putting the focus on himself. He's putting the focus on the world around him. He is telling us that the kingdom of God is like the most common and ordinary things in life. He's not using the 7 wonders of the ancient world to illustrate the kingdom of God. He's not even talking about the world's largest ball of twine to envision God's kingdom. No, he uses a mustard seed, the seed that is the tiniest of things. And those who plant those seeds grow what we would call a trash tree. I mean, actually, you should call it a trash bush because it really doesn't get all that big. And all that it's good for is to provide some shelter and shade for the birds of the air. Now, it's pretty obvious what Jesus is trying to tell us in this parable this morning. We know what he's trying to say to us. We only need a tiny seed of faith. A faith as small as a mustard seed, and God will still love us, and God will still use us to build his kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel a certain amount of relief in that statement. I really do. For one thing, it fits with our sermon series on tiny living that we're finishing up today, but that's the least of it. More importantly, it helps me understand that it can take the pressure off of us. And it can reassure us a little bit. It helps us understand that faith is not supposed to be measured in quantitative terms. Faith is not a commodity that we dole out either generously or stingy. I mean, just look around us. Let's just say that Pastor Arthur, who is looking very good this morning, has got an outstanding week in front of him. I mean, he is going to be coasting. Just coasting. So we'll probably only give him a teaspoon of faith. That'll do him. Richard, on the other hand, probably is going to have to travel to who knows where and work really hard and be really stressed out. I think we probably need to give Richard a full cup, maybe two cups of faith. You are most welcome. You are most welcome. Do you see what I mean? I mean, faith cannot be measured out like flour in a cake recipe. Jesus' story this morning about this tiny seed of faith is here to remind us of something else, though, something we might find a little bit shocking. Faith is not about us. I know. Hear it again. Faith is not about us. Faith is always related to God and to what God is doing. It's not so much about what we do or what we don't do, but it's rather what the limitless power of God can do. And that, my friends, is a game changer. That means our faith, no matter how big or how small it might be, it's really about our openness to God's power. That's why Jesus is telling us this tiny little story about faith as small as a mustard seed. I mean, if God is working through us, then we only need just enough faith to be open to his power. I think Martin Luther King Jr. said it best, and I'm quoting him now. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Now, I love that quote. I think it is beautiful. I think it is powerful. I would love to live my life around that quote every single day, but there's only one problem. Some of us here this morning, myself first among you, we like to see the staircase before we take a step. We just do. That's who we are. In fact, sometimes, some of us here, myself first among us, we actually want railings or banisters on our staircases because, you know, those steps, they may be too steep. We could slip. We could fall. Who knows what terrible thing could happen. And if you're one of those people like that, you need to brace yourself because you're not going to like what's coming next, not one little bit. Remember that tiny little mustard seed? It was tiny, but it is mighty. Mustard seeds grow anywhere they want to grow. Mustard seeds are like the kudzu of the ancient world. And we know what kudzu is like. There is no southerner alive who would ever plant kudzu. We have enough trouble keeping it from taking over our world. So maybe the best thing to compare that pesky little mustard seed to is bamboo plants. Bamboo plants on steroids. Some of you are shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I remember a close friend of ours, they built a new house, and he got it in his head that it would be beautiful just to have a little small group of bamboo at the corner of his property. Now, we warned him. We told him it would spread like crazy. We told him it was almost impossible to kill. We told him that some of the species will grow as fast as 3 feet a day, but he didn't listen. He wanted that pretty little small grove of bamboo, and he got way more than he asked for. Just before the bamboo broke down the back door of his house and moved inside, he was finally able to eradicate it. I think it took kind of a small nuclear weapon to do that. Some things are just too persistent for words, and mustard seeds are at the top of the list. Did you know there was actually a prohibition against mustard seeds in gardening? Jewish people were told never to plant mustard seeds in their garden. Mustard seeds were out in the meadows, out in the wild part. They were not supposed to be in gardens. And here is another interesting point. They're so tiny, it's very easy to get them mixed up with the good kind of seeds. So unless you're very, very careful, that pristine garden that you have made with long, straight, neat rows will suddenly be invaded by this wild and crazy mustard bush, with wild and crazy birds nesting in the branches and probably eating all of your vegetables. So, what is Jesus trying to tell us this morning? Is he trying to tell us that there is something invasive and unpredictable and maybe even dangerous about the kingdom of God? You bet he is. That's exactly what he is doing. We Christians, we have spent the better part of almost 2,000 years trying to sanitize the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to this world to save us. He came to this world to teach us exactly how to live. And you know what happened to him? They killed him for it. They killed him for it. But all is not lost. All is not lost. It only takes one tiny grain of faith, fueled by the power of God, and suddenly the kingdom of God appears right in front of your eyes. It can happen as individuals, and it can happen to a church as well. Many of you may remember the tsunami and subsequent earthquake that happened in eastern Japan 5 years ago. NPR recently did a podcast on the story, and it's called One Last Thing Before I Go. And I urge you to listen to the whole podcast, but it would be good to have some Kleenex close by. It's a very beautiful, poignant story. The part you're going to hear is just a small part of that podcast. This is the story of one small fishing village on the coast of eastern Japan. It was almost completely destroyed by the tsunami. Over 19,000 people died that day, and 2,500 are still missing. I mean, what do you do with that? How do you cope with not only the loss of the people you love, but the loss of your friends, the loss of your home, the loss of everything you hold dear to you, the tea shop where you like to go on Saturday afternoon, the restaurant where you always took your wife out to dinner on your anniversary, when everything that you know is gone? What do you do? How do you cope with such devastation? Well, surprisingly enough, the answer is pretty simple. One tiny phone call at a time. One of the local men did the oddest thing. He decided to drag a full-size phone booth. Remember the ones that look like that in England? Only this one was painted white. He drug it into his garden, and inside that phone booth was that black rotary phone that some of us are old enough to remember. And every so often, he would go inside that phone booth, and he would pick up the receiver, and he would talk to the people that he had loved and that he had lost. And since he believed that his words were carried to them by the wind of the Spirit, he called it the wind telephone. But this is where it gets interesting. People began to hear about this wind telephone. Strangers began to show up and just walk into his garden so they could use it. During the past 5 years, thousands of people have come from all over Japan to find comfort in the wind telephone. There's a grandmother whose husband died in the tsunami, and about once or twice a month, she brings her two young grandchildren to talk to their grandfather. They tell him what grade they made on their English paper. They tell him what they did in the last game of baseball. It's just an ordinary family conversation with a wind phone that is connected to absolutely nothing. There's another woman whose husband was a fisherman. They never found his body. They never found his boat. She comes less often, maybe once every 3 or 4 months. She steps inside the phone booth. She picks up the phone, and she never says a word. She just stands there, sometimes as long as 30 or 40 minutes, and then she hangs the phone up, and she leaves. Isn't it fascinating how God comforts us in different sorts of ways? There's also an older farmer who comes into the booth. He lost his only child, his only son, in the tsunami, and his wife, who survived, died 6 months ago from cancer. When the old farmer comes in, he picks up the phone and he dials the number of a house that no longer exists. Imagine that. And then he calls his son's name out and he says to him, "Son, is your mother with you? If she is, take good care of her and of your grandparents, because I will be there to join you soon. Goodbye for now. I'll come back again to talk to you." One tiny little mustard seed, and there is a place and a space for the birds of the air to rest and nest in its branches. One tiny decision to just drag a phone booth into a garden, and thousands of people have found peace and comfort and solace. Sometimes amazing things come from tiny, tiny decisions. About this time last year, our church made a pretty tiny decision. We decided to make a change and how we do Thanksgiving around here. Instead of cooking our Thanksgiving meals and taking them to the people who needed them, we thought, let's just all sit down and have a meal together. I mean, that's what Jesus did. It was scriptural, it's biblical, and it was an awesome thing to do. We're going to do it again this year, and so if you're in town on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, please come and join us. It was such a small decision, that change that we made, but boy, can God work through anything. One of the ladies who came to have Thanksgiving with us last year is a wonderful woman named Ava Woods. Now, she didn't know anything about First Alabaster Methodist. I mean, she has her own church that she attends and that she's very active in. But she really enjoyed having dinner with all of us and meeting some of the Methodist folks who attend church here. But then Mrs. Woods found herself in some trouble. That's the best way to put it. She was living in substandard housing, an old trailer that was really not fit for habitation. She had to use the two bowls in the sink to wash and rinse off. But she remembered our church, and she remembered that she had heard that those Methodists were involved with the group that were helping people with housing issues, not just on Highway 11, but anywhere in the general area in Shelby County with our Jesus Works project. So what she did was fill out one tiny little form, one tiny little slip of paper about what she needed, and then she just turned it in. Our ACE construction guy went out and checked out her trailer and said, "There is nothing we can do. It is too old, it is too dilapidated, the only thing we can do is tear it down." But you see, there was a problem. Our Jesus Works had just built a house the previous spring, and there were no more funds for a house for someone else. But thank goodness there are still people in this world with faith like a mustard seed who still trust and wait upon the Lord. Another one of our church members had some contacts. So he made phone call after phone call, and he finally convinced, who knows how he did it, he finally convinced a mobile home company to donate an energy-efficient double-wide trailer. Once again, you have 8 churches plus family and friends working together to tear down and to haul off a mobile home, bring in a new one, have it wired and plumbed, and build a front and a back porch on it. It did not happen overnight, but this past Friday, Mrs. Woods saw her brand new home for the very first time. And I think we have a picture of her. That porch is terrific. And one more. There we go. She actually came to church this morning at 8:30, which I thought was a lovely gesture for her. Here's the thing. I was honored to be asked to go and have a prayer when she saw her home for the first time. And I want to tell you something. I believe heart, mind, body, and soul that if Jesus Christ had been standing there with us at 10 o'clock last Friday morning, this is what he would have said. He would have said this. The kingdom of God looks like 8 churches and family and friends working together to make sure one lovely woman has a home that is warm and safe and dry. My friends, some days you may have enough faith to move a mountain, and that is wonderful. Other days, you may have only one tiny seed of faith. But you know what? That's okay. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we follow a God who restores this world. And he will continue to do it in us and through us in his own way and in his own time. And as Amanda already mentioned in Children's Moment, I have a challenge for you this morning. Go out and in the middle of your ordinary life, your ordinary work life, find one tiny place, one tiny way that you can touch someone's life this week. And then let me know about it. Let Pastor Arthur know about it. Just love a person. Touch a life. Go and make a difference, even a difference as tiny as a mustard seed. Thanks be to God. May we pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful that you never stop telling the stories. We are so grateful that for almost 2,000 years they have endured so that we would know you better and serve you more faithfully. Thank you, God, for that love and that grace and that hope. Amen.